How great is our God? Woo! That should get you excited when we think about how great and mighty He is. When we read our text, we read our scriptures, we see the greatness of our God. We see the mightiest of our God on display. But did you realize that each of us, when we think about the day that we were saved, that was the mightiness of our God on display? So not only has God's mightiness been on display in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, God's mightiness can be on display right here in this place. Throughout history of this church, God's mightiness has been on display. We thank Him for that. And what we're excited about is that God's mightiness will continue to be on display. That's our prayer and our hope, is that God's mightiness will continue to be on display. His greatness, His goodness, His love, His mercy, His grace, all of those things, we pray that they would be on display. Well, for the past 2 weeks, I've been preaching a series entitled The Mission of the Church Matters. And so we had part one, part two, and we're going to skip part three and call it part four today. No. We'll have part three today, and like I said, preachers are just long-winded. They can take something that God says in a verse, a couple verses, and we can make it last for 3 weeks. That's what they teach us in preacher school. You know what else they teach you in preacher school? That if you take your watch off and you look and act like you're going to pay attention to it, it doesn't mean anything because you're not really going to pay attention to it. But that's beside the point. So we've been preaching this series, The Mission of the Church Matters. And the premise of this message is the world needs the mission of the church. When we think about it, the hurts that exist, the pains that exist, the troubles that exist, the struggles that exist, right here within our own community, in our state, in our country, in our world, when we think of the things that are going on in our world, the premise is the world needs the mission of the church. And since the world needs the mission of the church, it's important for you and for me to know what the mission of the church is. It's not just something that we do on Sundays. It's not just things that we do. We're here on purpose. We're here for a reason. And what we've been exploring together in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and 21, what we see here is that Jesus defines His ministry. He defines the things that he's going to be doing during His ministry on earth. And since the church has been commissioned to carry on the mission of the church, the mission of Jesus, then what we see here, what Jesus is saying, is also our mission. It's what we should be about. And so what we've learned so far is we've learned that we're to proclaim the good news to the poor, that those who are poor spiritually, and even those who are poor economically. It is the responsibility of the church. It is the mission of the church to proclaim good news to the poor, to say, hey, in God there are no poor. In God we're all rich with His inheritance. In God we're all rich because we're all children of the King. Secondly, we're called to set the captives free. He finds the mystery church as setting the captives free. And there are people who are held captive by different things. And there are people who are in the prison of fear. There are people who are caught in the prison of want. And so we're called to help people be set free from those things. Thirdly, we're called to show compassion. Jesus defined it as showing compassion to the brokenhearted. When we see someone hurting, when we see someone who's I'm already sweating. When we see someone who's hurting, when we see someone who's heartbroken, whether it be in a time of grief, it being a time of pain, or just be because they're going through a rough time at life, we're to come alongside them and say, we love you and Jesus loves you and we want to share with you the love of Christ. So we're to show compassion to the brokenhearted. Fourthly, we're to give hope to the sick. Now that doesn't mean, that means we're to pray for, and we talked about this last week, we talked about praying for the sick, visiting the sick, being present with the sick, and just sitting there and giving them hope. And then lastly, last week we studied that, was like helping people see God. And the scripture said there, it says to recovery, sight for the blind. It's talking about helping people see spiritually, which means help people see God. Help people see God's grace, help people see God's mercy, see God's presence. Well, this morning we want to continue that. Jesus defines the mission of the church as, he calls us to release the oppressed. Let's read with me this morning the entire passage and then we'll continue on. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, what he normally did. And he stood up and read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. As we continue this morning, the scripture says that we are called to release the oppressed. And we think about it, there's different types of oppression, which we'll get to that in a little bit. But there are different kinds of oppression. Some people are oppressed by religion. Now that may sound foreign to some of our ears, but it's true. There are some people who are oppressed by religion. Some people who are oppressed by religion, they spell it D-O. This is what I have to do. This is what I must do. This is what I have to do. For some, church is a list of do's and don'ts. It's about being a good person. It's about being a moral person. But folks, faith in Christ is about transformation, which is what Christ works in our lives. Faith in Christ is about transformation, which what Christ works in our lives. It's not spelled D-O, it's spelled D-O-N-E. The work of Christ is done. He cried from the cross, "It is finished." Tetelestai, it is finished. I'll tell you a story I read in a book called Pastor. It's written by Eugene Peterson. And Eugene Peterson's name may sound familiar to you if you've seen the Message. He's the one that kind of worked with that and had a big part in that paraphrase. That's not a translation of Scripture. That's a paraphrase of Scripture. But anyway, he in his book called The Pastor, he tells a story about a guy, a family who came to his church, and they came and they visited with him, and they said, "We have children, and we want our children to grow up to be moral, outstanding citizens in the community." And it was a church of a different faith tradition. It was a church that they would quote the Apostles' Creed every Sunday. And so he said he would watch this family, and the mom and the dad, they'd be there, but they, when it came to the reciting of the Apostles' Creed, they wouldn't say, "I believe in God." They would sit there silently. Because they said, "We don't really believe in all this church stuff, but we want the church to teach our kids how to be good kids." I don't know about you, but that makes me scratch my head. I don't quite grasp that. But that's why they came. That's why they started coming. But what's wild, as they started coming, God began to do a work in them. This pastor said, or Eugene said, that as he would watch this man, as they would do every week, the Apostles' Creed, remember, it's a different faith tradition, so every week they would recite the Apostles' Creed. One day, this man who said, I don't want all this church stuff, I just want to teach my kid to be good kids, he said, "I noticed this man started saying, 'I believe.'" And then he wouldn't say anything else to that. He would just say, "I believe." And he said after a few more weeks, a few more services, he would begin to say, "I believe in God." And after some time, he began to say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth," but he wouldn't say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." And then after some time, he would say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." And he said, when I saw him saying that, I said, "It's time for me to have a conversation with him." So he said he went to this man's house, and he sat down with this man in this man's house, and he began to have a conversation with him about Jesus. And this man trusted Jesus as his Savior. See, he started coming to church to teach his kid moral values, but he ended up getting transformed by the Spirit of God. God can do mighty works, and he will if we believe him. But there are folks who are oppressed by religion. They are oppressed by a list of rules, and they say, "I can't be good enough." But you know what? You don't have to. Let go and let God trust the saving work of Jesus. If you have your Bibles with this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. You may have this memorized in your head. I have parts of it is, and so, but I've been known to quote scriptures in the middle of it get lost, so I go back and look at them. Matthew 11, 28, it says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so Jesus says to us today, come and learn from me. Come and learn from me. Let's learn from Jesus. Let's learn our way of life from Jesus. Let's have Jesus carry part of our loads today, carry part of our burdens today. Let's find rest in Jesus. And folks who are oppressed by religion, they can find rest in Jesus, because in Jesus they find grace. The second thought I want to share with you this morning is that there are some folks who are oppressed by negative thoughts that lead to anxiety and depression. And working with folks who suffer with depression, they would use the word oppression to describe depression. They would say they feel trapped. They feel like they can't get away. They would say that they feel like they're in a dungeon and they can't get out. They feel oppressed. They feel oppressed by negative thoughts. They feel oppressed by negative feelings. They feel oppressed. And so as believers, we can come and we can help with those negative thoughts. We can come and we can say, let us tell you the truth about God, and let us tell you what God says about you, and let us tell you how we can encourage you and be there for folks. And one thing that we can't do when we feed people who are oppressed with these things, we can't come up to them and say, well, won't you just start feeling better? Won't you just start thinking different? Because it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If they could, they would. And so we have to come alongside them and help them and be with them and offer them grace and mercy and help them continue to see who they really are and to tell the and help them see the truth and help them understand, as I read in a blog somewhere, depression is the great liar. Its thoughts aren't true. So we got folks who are oppressed with that, we can come alongside and do that. Thirdly, we need to help with traffic. There's oppression through human trafficking. And you may not realize this, I'm sure you do, that I-20 and I-10 are corridors for human trafficking that takes place in our country. And Christian Life Commission out of Austin, which is a part of Texas Baptist, that's one thing they continually and constantly work on is saying we've got to stop human trafficking here, because it takes away people's dignity. It takes away people's freedom, and we've got to fight against it. And so as a church and as a people of God, we need to make sure when we see human trafficking that we stand up and we have a voice. But oppression comes in many forms. Oppression comes in the forms of addictions, abuse of any kind, spouses who abuse or physically or verbally abuse their spouse. Researchers have found that some spouses who've had abuse, that they began to show the signs and symptoms of PTSD. And so because of that, we need to set free from that oppression. Oppression occurs in the workplace and in our school halls. In fact, bullying is a form of oppression. Sadly, there are parents who oppress their children. Jesus stated that he came to free the oppressed. He stated that he came to set them free. Remember how wonderful it was when you've had a burden lifted off your shoulders. Remember how it felt? Remember how it felt when you felt weighed down by something, pushed down by something, pressed down by something, and once that was removed, how free you felt? Let's set people free. Let's set people free who are oppressed. It's the mission of the church to set people free. We are called to help people to be released from their oppressors. We cannot turn a blind eye to people who are being oppressed around us. We must be the voice to those who have no voice. Just as Jesus broke the chains of oppression, we must get our bolt cutters and our hacksaws and our reciprocating saws and whatever method we have, and we must break the chains of oppression that exist in the world around us. Because, see, we're called to set people free. But not only are we called to set people free, we're also called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What's Jubilee? Jubilee was a time in Israel's history when it was to be celebrated after seven sevens. And during this time, your debts would be set free. Now imagine this, if after 49 years, someone came to you and said every debt that you owe is going to be forgiven. If someone came to you and said every dime that you owed was going to be forgiven, how would you feel? Now some of us, the sin in us, will say, well, I'm going to go out in year 48 and rack up a bunch of debt. That's not how the year of Jubilee worked. But that's what we thought. My friend used to say thoughts like that are it's God reminding us that we still need grace. But anyway, the year of Jubilee was a time when slaves would be set free. The year of Jubilee was a time when if you had a debt, that would be set free. The year of Jubilee would be a time if you sold your family's property because you needed money, you would get your family property back. And so, in a sense, you didn't really sell your family's property, you leased your family's property. And so that would happen in this year of Jubilee. There would be this forgiveness of debt. Now, if you've driven by the Catholic Church over here, you've seen that they're proclaiming a year of Jubilee, a year of Jubilee, time of forgiveness. The truth is, since Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day, it has been a year, quote, of your Jubilee. The time for salvation is now. The time of salvation is now. So many people want to wait to trust Jesus. They want to wait till I'm older. They say, wait till I'm in a good place. Wait till I have my life together. Wait till I have children. Wait till I get a little better. Just wait. But folks, it's not time to wait. There's no time to wait. Waiting, you don't have to wait till you get better because Jesus takes care of that. You don't have to wait till you're in a better place. Jesus takes care of that. You don't have to wait till you sin less. Jesus takes care of that. The reason we come to Jesus for salvation is because we need it. And so as a church, we come together and we're to proclaim the year of God's favor. We're to proclaim that the debt has been forgiven. Your sin debt has been forgiven, right? God doesn't hold our sins against us. He forgets them as far as the east is from the west. East. I get lost in this place. I'm usually pretty good at my directions, but oh well. East is from the west. He forgives them. He wipes the debt out. He wipes it clean. Anytime we think about forgiving, when you say, praise God, hallelujah, I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. We praise Him for that. And as a church, we are to proclaim the year of God's favor wherever we go. And there are people who don't believe that God has favor for them or God has love for them, that God has grace for them, but they do. He does. And so we are to proclaim the year of God's favor. Proclaim. Let's get on the mountaintops and just praise God. These are the things that God has called us to do. This is the mission of the church. It's the mission of the church to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of God's favor, to proclaim good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to mend up the brokenhearted. It's the mission of the church to help people see God. It's the mission of the church to give hope to the sick. It's the mission of the church. But I want to call your attention to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I didn't address it on purpose. I didn't skip over it. I just want to address it now. Verse 18. The first sentence says what? That's right. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Jesus proclaimed this. If you read the book of Luke 4, when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit was on him. When Jesus left the wilderness, the Spirit was on him. And here, when he stands up to proclaim, he proclaims, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The very same Spirit. Hear this. The very same Spirit that was upon Jesus is upon us. The very same Spirit that was in him is in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us as individuals, and I believe corporately as a church. And because of that, that is our power source. Because of that, the Holy Spirit should be the basis for all ministry in the church. The Holy Spirit should be the basis for all ministry in the church, which means we lean on the Spirit. We lean on the Spirit. First of all, we lean on the Spirit to lead the church. The Holy Spirit gives the church direction. It shows the church the ministries in which it needs to engage. We need to allow the Spirit to lead us. We need to become aware of the brokenhearted who need compassion, the poor who need good news, the captives who need freedom, the sick who need hope, the blind who need to see, the oppressed who need freedom, and the lost who need to hear about God's favor. The Spirit leads us into ministry. It leads us. The Holy Spirit will lead us if we will listen. But we have to listen to the Spirit. We have to listen to the Spirit. The story is told about this pastor and this deacon. This pastor had this deacon who always wanted him to go visit him with him. He'd come to church on a normal basis, and the pastor, he would sometimes go visit with him, sometimes not, but many times he'd avoid to go visit with him. Well, this deacon called him up, and he said, "All right, you want to go visit today? I'm standing right outside your door," so the pastor couldn't sneak out. And so he goes, "Okay, I'll go," not wanting to go. And so this pastor and his deacon, they're driving around, and they're going to visit somebody, and on the way to go visit somebody, they said, "Oh, that's so-and-so. He's going to be at church on Sunday." "Really?" "Yeah, he's going to be at church on Sunday. I was driving around one day, and the Spirit led me to go visit that guy, and so I went to visit with that guy, and he prayed to receive Christ in his living room." Preacher goes, "God, Holy Spirit speaks to you that way? You'd be going down the road and he'll lead you to go talk to somebody?" And the deacon goes, "Yeah." The preacher goes, "Well, he doesn't do that to me." The deacon goes, "Well, maybe he knows I'll listen." The pastor said it changed how he viewed and listened to the Spirit. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadings in his life, the Holy Spirit's leading in his life. We need to follow. It's not just enough to listen to it. Once we hear, we need to listen. We need to do. We need to follow. At Second Baptist Church, we seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God called Kira and I and Andrew to come be a part of this church and lead you as pastor. We believe that God led Roger and Kat and to come and be a part, Roger and Lou to come be a part and lead as worship, Kat to lead in the office, and each of you who serve as volunteer staff and also paid staff. We believe that God brought you here. I believe that every person in this room was brought here today by the Holy Spirit. I believe that you were led here. It's no accident that you're here in this room today. God wanted you in this very place today. We pray for God to lead us going forward. We pray for God to lead in each ministry in which we engage. We pray for God's leadership in missions. We pray for God's leadership in fellowship. We pray for God's leadership in worship. And we pray for God's leadership in evangelism. We pray for God to direct us in each and every way. We pray for God to direct us not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning. We pray for God to direct us not just on Monday morning, but on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday morning, from morning to even. We pray for God's leadership in our lives. In fact, let's stop right now and pray for the Lord's leadership. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we know that your Spirit will lead us and guide us and direct us on every step that we take. We don't lean on ourselves. We don't lean in our own power, but we lean upon you. And so today, Lord, lead us, guide us, and direct us. Let us hear your voice. And Lord, once we hear your voice, Lord, give us the to move forward. Give us the willpower to follow wherever you lead us to go and whoever you call us to be, Lord. We don't want to be who we want to be, Lord. We want to be who you want us to be. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will lead us. I pray for every single ministry in this church. I pray for every leader of ministries in this church, Lord. I pray that you would bless them in awesome and amazing ways. I pray that your Holy Spirit would flow out of them each and every week, whether they're working with children or adults, young people or older people. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit flows out and empowers them. Lord, we don't want to do anything on our own accord. We want to follow the leadership of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue to lead us as you have led this church in the past. And as you are leading this church in the present, I believe with all my heart that your Spirit will lead us in the future as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The church is to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. The second reason we need to lean on the Holy Spirit, though, is we need to lean on the Holy Spirit to empower us. The Holy Spirit does more than motivate us. It does more than motivate us. You know, you have that coach who gets up there, all right, guys, we're down by 21 points, and we've got to get in there, and we've got to play harder. You've got to know your assignment. You've got to do everything that you need to do. The way we played in that first half is horrible. We've got to get in there, but I believe in you guys. I believe that you can do it. I believe that you can band together as a band of brothers and get out there on that field and win. Yeah, woo, let's go. The Holy Spirit does more than motivate us. It's not just someone to come in and give us a pep talk. The Holy Spirit does more than inspire us. And inspire us, he does. But he does more than that. The Holy Spirit gives us power to carry out our ministry in the world. The Holy Spirit works through us to carry out the ministry in the world. Let me ask you a question. What kind of power does an electrical wire have? None. Absolutely zero. I could be up here all day long and hold an electrical wire, as long as I had both ends, I'd hold an electrical wire and I'd be just fine. If I plug an electrical wire into electricity, though, to a power source, what kind of power does electrical wire have? Quite a bit, right? In fact, I probably don't want to touch the ends together. I've accidentally done it before, but don't want to do that. It's a kind of a shocking experience. That electrical wire is just conduit of power. We become conduit in order for God to pour his love into the world. We become the conduits for God to show compassion to our world. In order for us to do that, we have to be plugged in. I'm going to talk real quickly about three ways that we can plug ourselves in. And when I say quickly, I do mean quickly. First, we plug in with prayer. That includes talking and listening. Many of you had somebody that when you talk on the phone, your responses are, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, 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 yeah, 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 uh-uh, no, Any of you have anybody like that? I've got a few. I think I'm the person on the other end talking sometimes. But anyway, and so that's a one-way conversation, right? There's a whole bunch of listening, but not a whole bunch of talking. Sometimes that's how our prayer life is. And God's going, And it's good. I want you to pour your heart out in prayer. I want you to be honest in your prayer. I want you to pray what you're feeling, pray what you're experiencing. I want to pray what's on your heart. I want you to pray scripture. I want you to pray your heart to God. But prayer is more than just talking. It's listening too. Prayer is communication, communion with God, and so we actually hear God's voice as well. So don't just pray talking, pray listening. Secondly, plug in with reading the Word with a listening ear. I'm going to do my Bible reading today. For God so loved the world that gives only God's Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Woo! I get my Bible reading. Get to mark that off my list. Sometimes we approach God's word that way. Sometimes we approach it where we read God's word out of duty and we read it so quick that we can check off that we've got it done, but we don't hear the voice of God, and God's Spirit is crying out, I want to talk to you. I want to so desperately speak to you. So when you read God's word, don't just read it. Listen to it. Listen with your ear. Listen with your heart. Listen with your soul. So read God's word with a listening ear. We plug into the Spirit when we do that. And then we plug in with being still. And you say, preacher, we're looking at you, and there's nothing that you do when you're preaching that's being still. You're absolutely right. I'm never still when I'm preaching. But there are times in which it's important that we be still and we listen to the voice of God. We say, be still my soul, be still my mind, be still my heart, and hear what God has to say in those moments, and God will speak to us. He will speak to our hearts, but we have to be still. And the power source for the church is the Holy Spirit. And the mission of the church matters. The world in which we're living is hurting, and it needs hope, it needs help, and it needs peace and mercy. On Thursday night, I enjoyed worshiping at the singing men of West Texas concert. It was inspiring for me. It was uplifting to me. It was absolutely a blessing. And here in a little bit, not yet, I'm going to play you a song that's entitled "Get Up, Get on Your Feet." I keep wanting to put "up" in there, Roger. Get on your feet. The mission, the church matters. It's time for the church to rise up. The answers to our issues are not found in the White House, the Senate, or the House of Representatives. It's time for the church to rise up. The answers to the challenges that we face are not found in Washington, Austin, or the City Hall. It's time for the church to rise up. From New York to LA, it is time for the church to rise up. From the far west, far reaches of West Odessa to Midland, it is time for the church to rise up. From the most rural areas of our country to the most populated areas of our country, it is time for the church to rise up. It is time for us to rise up and proclaim good news to the poor, to give compassion to the brokenhearted, hope for the sick, sight for the blind, and set the captives free, and to release those who are oppressed. It is time for the church to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, of the Lord's favor. Let's rise, church. Let's rise. Will you rise with me?
Get on your feet. Stand up for Jesus. Get on. Rise up, O Church of God. Rise up from your sleep, get on your feet. There's a time to work and a time to rest, a time to listen and a time to be blessed. But now our God is calling his army to the fight, to overcome the enemy and stand for what is right. Get on your feet. Stand up for Jesus, get on your feet, for all the world to see. Rise up, O Church of God. Rise up from your sleep, get on, rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O Church of God. Let the church rise up like a mighty army of the Lord, into battle with his word, a mighty sword. We've been silent long enough, but through the power of God we must shout victory, keep gaining ground, and let the church rise up. Stand up for Jesus,
ye soldiers of the cross.
Lift high his banner, it must not suffer loss. Onward to victory,
shout the battle cry.
Let the church arise. Get on your feet. Stand up for Jesus. Get on your feet. For all the
from your sleep. Get up on your feet. Sound the battle cry. Church of God, rise.
Get up, church. It's time for us to rise. As we've already risen in the past, it's time for us to continue to rise and minister to the people of Odessa, that they may know that God loves them and that they may know that this is a place where they can find hope. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for that message we heard through song. Thank you for inspiring the writers of that song. Lord, may we get up off our feet, and Lord, may we, as an army, go forth to proclaim the good news of your love to those that you bring across our path. Lord, thank you that you've given the church a mission. Lord, that we don't just meet, but we have a mission. I thank you for that. Lord, if there's one here today who needs to accept you as Savior, may be the day of their salvation. If there's someone today who's oppressed by sin, may today be the day that they're set free. And Lord, may today be the day that they get a new birthday and find new life in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.